Energy crisis is postponed?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. There's a captivating headline in the British newspaper The Telegraph this morning. Energy crisis is postponed as new gas rescues the world. It's a report on last week's World Gas Conference in Buenos Aires. Writer Ambrose Evans-Pritchard says new advances in the extraction of natural gas from shale mean that the world will not run short of energy as soon as feared. Ambrose Evans-Pritchard joins us live from London. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's nice to have some good news for once.
It is. Tell us more about this technological advance.
Yeah, well, we always underestimate the impact of scientists and engineers when they get thinking on something. And essentially, what's happened is that the combination of 3D seismic imaging and sort of methods of breaking up rocks, it's called hydrofracturing or fracking in the trade, has become so precise that they can free up what's called tight gas that's caught in these sedimentary rocks. And these rocks are really ubiquitous all over the world. There's a lot of it. Until now, people thought you couldn't really get it out very easily. It'd be too expensive. But suddenly, in the last 3 years, it's sort of catapulted. And at the Buenos Aires conference, you had the head of BP, you had the head of gas at Norway's Statoil, both coming out and saying it's just blowing their mind what's happening. It's completely changing the whole outlook for the gas industry, you know, for half a century. Massive reserves are coming on stream that they didn't think would be available.
Well, Ambrose, your lead sentence is, America is not going to bleed its wealth importing fuel. So tell us, how is natural gas going to replace our imported oil?
Well, I mean, firstly, you're not going to have to import gas, or not nearly on the scale that was expected. You know, you were preparing to import liquefied natural gas, is when it's transported in ships, on quite a large scale as your own resources depleted. And suddenly you're not importing it anymore. And that's caused the world market of LNG gas to be flooded. The price has fallen very sharply. It's trading at half the level of long-term contracts. It's really changed the global gas market, firstly. That's the key thing. And that'll affect your import bill a lot. But also there's a spillover effect between gas and oil. Gas and oil, they can decouple for a while, but they don't decouple for forever. And if gas becomes much, much cheaper, then oil eventually will sort of come down to some degree with it, because you can switch power stations, you can do all kinds of things
right, from
one to the other. So it will affect the whole energy balance. And since energy has been the biggest single cause of your massive great current account deficit, if you can bring that under control, then there's a possibility you could actually become a surplus country, which is amazing. I mean, it could happen within a few years.
The Telegraph's Ambrose Evans-Pritchard, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Okay, let's do the numbers. European stocks are up almost 1.5% this morning. The continent's biggest consumer electronics company, Royal Philips Electronics, showed a better-than-expected third-quarter profit. Earlier today, Asian markets were mostly lower. Wall Street is coming off its best week since July. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ shot up 4.5% last week, and the Dow closed on Friday at 9,864. A Chinese state oil company may go toe-to-toe against ExxonMobil and make an oil bid in West Africa. That's according to the Wall Street Journal this morning. Seems the race for hydrocarbons is intensifying between the U.S. and China, the two most energy-hungry countries on the planet. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The target oil field in West Africa is one of the largest discoveries in recent years. ExxonMobil has bid $4 billion for a 23.5% stake. Now a Chinese state-owned oil company wants to trump that bid and is reportedly partnering with the government of Ghana to make an offer. David Zweig teaches at the Hong Kong University for Science and Technology.
And China's saying, we'll help you do it. We got the cash. We'll bid with your national oil company against Exxon. It's pretty smart politics. I do think that this is really going to get the Americans angry and really raise their antenna.
Zweig says there hadn't been much direct competition between the U.S. and China for hydrocarbons until now. China's oil consumption has doubled the past decade. It's currently the number one new car market in the world. ExxonMobil, meanwhile, is trying to make its first major purchase in a decade. Its output fell last year, and it says it may not hit its goal this year either. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at SunGard.com.
This is Marketplace Morning Report. Toyota can't seem to make up its mind about where it wants to build the Prius. Right now, the Prius is built in Japan. There's talk of building it in the United States. And Marketplace's Elisa Roth says with the yen at an all-time high against the dollar, that idea sounds more practical every day.
Let's say the dollar is weak, like it is right now. You may not care that your Prius is made in Japan, but when you buy it with dollars, Toyota makes less money because those dollars are worth less when the company converts them back to yen. David Solon is a consultant at Foreign Exchange Analytics, and he says the way car makers get around that currency risk is to set up shop over here.
The bottom line is that the more dollars that they expect to take in, the more exposure they have by not manufacturing in the U.S.
But currencies can be weak one day and strong the next, and getting a plant going can take months or even years. John Casessa is an auto industry consultant, and he says a company can't just start producing cars in another country on the fly.
So the company's got to take a view that trends in the currency market will persist for some period of time, for years.
Casessa says the exchange rate isn't the only thing companies consider when they think about where to build plants. They also look at things like demand, shipping costs, and a market's potential to grow. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, just as Twitter's trying to cash in on its popularity, Hannah Montana star Miley Cyrus comes out with a video where she says no more Twitter, goodbye to her 2 million online followers.
And the reasons are simple. I started tweeting about pimples. I stopped living for moments and started living for people.
Tweeting about pimples. That hurts. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.